Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen for God's word and listen for any words or phrases that particularly stand out and speak to you this morning. This title is The New Life in Christ, starting with verse 1 of chapter 3. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all in all. May God bless our hearing of this holy scripture. Now, were there any good words that you heard this morning that you'd like to share? Sharon. Looking up, because we tend to think of God being up. I encourage you to look all around and see God, but looking for godly things and the kingdom all around us. What else? Anything else? Some good inspiration, some of the things to stay away from. We know that. So, now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Christ is all in all. A pastor was speaking to a group of second graders about the resurrection of Jesus when one student asked, "What did Jesus say right after he came out of the grave?" The pastor explained that the Gospels don't tell us what he said. But the hand of one little girl shot up. "I bet I know what he said. He probably said, 'Ta-da! Ta-da! Easter has finally come. Resurrection has arrived.' During the season of Easter, we continue to celebrate the reality that Christ is risen. He is resurrected. He died, was buried, came back to life. But was it magic? There's a lot of people who seem to think of God more like a great magician in the sky, twirling his wand and creating miracles down here on earth. So often our prayers can be more like an incantation, saying the right words in the right way with the right faith, so God will be inclined to obey our wishes. Abracadabra. There's no question that many of our biblical stories seem to portray some kind of magical image of God and Jesus. Looking at the miracles, the healings, the casting out of demons, something seems to have happened where the right thing is said in the right way, and abracadabra, a miracle happens. Of course, this leads many to wonder why the same miracles don't seem to happen as often today. Or do they? How many believe that miracles still happen today, and maybe more than ever? Good for you. But when you read this larger story, the whole story of the Bible, you begin to see a flow, a purpose to history, a larger purpose to these seemingly isolated miracles, a larger purpose for God entering this world, completely human, yet completely divine in Jesus. A larger purpose for Jesus walking that path to the cross. And a larger purpose for God to raise Jesus from death. God has a vision and a purpose to set all the world into right relationship with God's self. That is God's reign, God's kingdom, the world in right relationship with God. A world not of magic, where God performs miracles according to our bidding, but a world of wholeness, of healthy relationships, of love, understanding, and compassion, a world of justice and healing. The book of Revelation gives us wonderful images of God's kingdom, where the new Jerusalem comes to earth, where the tree of life is available to everyone, with leaves for the healing of the nations, all the nations, where there is no temple anymore because God is everywhere you go, where there are no closed gates to keep anyone out, all are welcome, where there is no darkness in anyone's life. The resurrection of Jesus, the healing and wholeness of his body and spirit, human and divine, is a foretaste of what is waiting for each one of us in that new Jerusalem. The buds on the trees today, the bees and the pollen blowing in the wind, seeking to bring new life, these are symbols of resurrection. A seed must die to this world, shrivel up and be buried in the ground before it can receive new life through God's gift of sun and rain and through the care of the gardener who participates in nurturing that new life that God gives. God is still resurrecting today. Do you remember the day when you descended into the waters of baptism and then rose into new life, joining Jesus, who descended into death on the cross and then rose from the tomb? Baptism symbolizes resurrection, first dying to your old life where sin and darkness can still separate you from God, and then rising to new life as a new creation. But what happens after baptism? In our scripture from the letter to the Colossians, Paul is talking to those who have already been baptized into this new life. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In your baptism, you have been buried, you have buried your old life, but did you rise to new life? You see, over the centuries, there's been discussion about whether Jesus was really resurrected or how Jesus was resurrected. But reading Paul's words, we see that the real question to discuss today is, have you been resurrected? Think about that. Have you lived into your baptism, your own resurrection into Jesus the Christ? Now, your baptism was not magic. It did not give you special powers or the ability to get God to do your bidding. Your baptism was a new beginning, an act of obedience, of loyalty and submission to God's reign, God's kingdom, which quite frankly looks different than the world we're used to looking at. But that's because even though we've been baptized, we haven't yet learned to see this new kingdom that we have entered into. We have not yet set our eyes, our minds, and our hearts on the things above where Christ is. We keep worrying about whether Jesus was really resurrected when the question really is, have we? Now, don't get confused with Paul's language of above or below. That's just his way of saying better or worse, healthy or unhealthy, whole or broken, in relationship with God or walking alone through this life. Seek the things that are above. Or as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. It's a great song, too. Can't sing it too much. Seek the things that are above. Live into your resurrection. I mentioned earlier that in premarital counseling, I always like to assign homework to couples to give their partner a compliment every day. Because we need to practice relationships and practice being in the kingdom. Giving compliments, looking for good things and complimenting those enable us to see, encourage us to see good things. And always, whether you have someone to give that compliment with every day, we always have God. And boy, living here in Grand Junction, just looking out the window, there's reasons to give thanks. The more you practice looking for good, the more you will see good. Because seeking God's kingdom is a habit to be practiced. And seeing and experiencing God's kingdom allows us to come to life more and more every day. We have a choice. Every day, where to place our sights. Which kingdom to seek after. We can trust in God's grace, God's nurturing spirit to guide our vision and strengthen our resolve. We will stumble along the way. And Paul gave us quite a list of potential stumbling blocks. But if we let God pull us back up and refocus our attention on God, then we will see more of God's kingdom blossoming all around us. We will taste and experience more of the fruit of God's kingdom. We will live as resurrected people. God has given us an earthly hope that when we seek God's kingdom, we will find it, we will see it, and we will experience it today in our earthly existence. We can even help plant the seeds. Our earthly hope is not just in a future heavenly garden. Our earthly hope is found in Christ Jesus today, seeking, planting, and thus experiencing God's kingdom today in anticipation of the day Christ returns to earth. For you died in your baptism, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, Paul says, to each of us. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ returns, we will be with him, but we can live with him in God's kingdom today if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we help plant the seeds. What you seek, what you plant, what you practice is what you will find. That is our earthly hope. The question is no longer, was Jesus resurrected? The question today is, are you? Are we? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So our question to take with us, how can we practice God's kingdom today? Compliments are a good start. Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God. What a beautiful creation you've placed us within. What a beautiful congregation you have brought us into. What a beautiful kingdom reign of love, filled with your Spirit and guided by your Spirit, that's just to be lived into and experienced and followed each and every day. We pray that you would guide us, O God. We thank you that you love us, accept us, and bring us into this community and into your kingdom. We just give you thanks. Good work, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.